Today's scripture reading and following address were part of the YouTube-streamed worship service at St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on the 17th of May 2026. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 24. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from the one who was, who is, and who is still coming towards us. Amen. Waiting is one of the hardest things that we do, isn't it? Just like we heard from Pastor Nev. It doesn't sit comfortably with us. Not here, not now. We live in a world that moves very quickly, where we expect answers straight away. Deliveries by tomorrow, and solutions yesterday. The rhythms of life, for all their beauty, seem to be shaped by a quiet pressure to keep things moving, to be productive, to just get on with it. So waiting feels like a delay, like nothing is happening, like we might be stuck. And yet, in today's gospel, at the very end of Luke's story, Jesus gives his disciples one final instruction. It's simple, it's clear, and it's a bit uncomfortable. Stay here. Wait. Remain in the city, he says, until you have been clothed with power from on high. He doesn't send them out on a great mission. He doesn't ask them to start building the church. He doesn't ask them to get busy. He just says, wait. It's a quiet ending to a remarkable story. Jesus opens their minds to the scriptures. He reminds them of everything that they've lived through, his life, his suffering, and his rising. He tells them that they are witnesses to all of these things, and then he blesses them. And as he blesses them, he is taken from their sight. There's no dramatic flourish. No sense of closure in the way that we might expect. Instead, there's a kind of openness, a sense that the story is not yet finished, just maybe changing. And what do the disciples do? Well, they return to Jerusalem. They gather together. They spend their time in the temple, blessing God. And Luke tells us something that might catch us off guard. They do all of this with great joy. Joy, not confusion, not fear, not even grief, although surely all of that is somewhere in there. Joy. Joy tells us something about the kind of waiting that they are being drawn into. This is not the kind of waiting that feels empty or pointless. It's not the kind of waiting where nothing is happening. This is a waiting that is full. It's full of memories. It's full of meaning. And it's full of expectation. They are remembering everything that Jesus has taught them. And they're beginning to understand it in a new way. They're holding on to a promise that they can't yet see. In other words, they are being changed. Waiting in this story is not just a pause in the action. It is part of the action. It is where something is taking shape beneath the surface. Maybe you recognise that space too. Because in many ways, we live in that space. Between what has been and what will be. Between clarity and uncertainty. Between hope and its fulfilment. There are so many places in our lives, in our world, that feel like this, aren't there? We find ourselves waiting for healing that maybe takes longer than we expected. We wait for relationships to mend. We wait for justice for people who've been oppressed. We wait for systems that are fairer and kinder and more inclusive. We are not strangers to the in-between. And it's in that in-between space, what is called a liminal space, that this story speaks most clearly. Because it reminds us that waiting is not the same as doing nothing. The disciples are waiting, but they are not inactive. They are present. They are attentive. They are grounded in worship and in community. They are allowing what they have experienced to sink in, to reshape them. And they are learning how to be ready. It's tempting when we hear a story like the Ascension to imagine it as a kind of departure, as though Jesus has simply gone somewhere else, upward, somewhere out of reach. But Luke seems to be pointing us in a different direction. The focus is not on where Jesus has gone. The focus is on what this means for those who remain. Because something had shifted. Jesus is no longer present in the same way. But that does not mean he is absent. Instead, his presence is opening out, no longer confined to one place or one moment. And the disciples are now part of that presence. You are witnesses, Jesus tells them. Not experts, not people who have all the answers, but witnesses, people who have seen, who have experienced, who carry a story. And even before they fully understand it, that story is already alive in them. But still, they're told to wait. And that waiting has a purpose. Until you have been clothed with power from on high. It's an intriguing image, isn't it? Being clothed with power. Not grasping it, not earning it, but receiving it, wearing it, almost as something given to you. And it raises the question, what kind of power is this? Maybe it doesn't look like the power that we're used to, because it's not about control or dominance. It's not about influence in the usual sense. It's not loud or forceful or self-promoting. It's the power of love that refuses to let go. The power of forgiveness that breaks cycles of harm. The power of truth spoken with courage. The power of inclusion in a world that draws lines and builds walls. It's a quiet, transformative power, the kind that doesn't always make the headlines, but changes lives nonetheless. It reminds us that everything begins with what God gives. The disciples are not told to generate their own strength. They are not told to rely on their own readiness. They are told to wait, to receive, and to trust, and only then to act. And that pattern, that rhythm, is really important because it frees us from the pressure to make everything happen ourselves. It allows us to recognise that God is already at work, often ahead of us, often in ways that we don't yet see. And at the same time, it calls us into participation. We are invited into the work of bearing Christ's presence into places of suffering and exclusion, of becoming a community through whom God's mercy and reconciliation are made tangible, of gathering at a table as people shaped by grace, hospitality, and mutual belonging, called to become the body of Christ for the sake of the world, and of receiving creation as a gift that is alive with God's presence, to be cherished rather than consumed. And we are called to do these things because we are grounded in grace. And maybe that's where the joy comes in, because the disciples somehow are able to hold uncertainty and joy together. They don't know exactly what's coming. They don't have a clear plan. They are quite literally in a time of waiting. And still, they are filled with joy. Not because everything is resolved, but because they trust that God is faithful, that the story is still unfolding, that what they have been promised will come to pass. It's a quiet, steady joy, the kind that can exist even alongside questions and doubts. So what might that kind of waiting look like for us here at St. Paul's? Well, it might look like slowing down enough to notice where God is already at work. It might look like listening deeply to one another, to those whose voices are often overlooked. It might look like choosing presence over productivity. It might mean allowing ourselves to sit with things that are unresolved rather than rushing to fix them. And it might mean trusting that even our small acts, acts of kindness, of courage, of care, are part of something larger than we can see. Because Jesus' ascension is not the end of the story. It is a turning point. The story that began with Jesus' life now begins to take shape in a new way, in and through community. A community that waits, a community that worships, a community that bears witness, a community like this one. So here we are, between what has been and what will be, between promise and fulfillment. And the word we are given today is simple, but not easy. Wait. We remember that though he has gone to heaven, Jesus does not leave us alone. Our eyes, our minds, and our hearts are once again opened in order to receive the Holy Spirit, our comforter and our guide. There is no power without a season of preparation, without a season of waiting. And so we wait, not because nothing is happening, but because something is. Wait in hope. We wait in trust. And we wait together. And we trust that in God's time, we will be clothed with the power that we need. Amen.